just want to say thank you for having me. The title of my message this morning is "The Most Loving Thing You Can Do Is Not Burn Yourself to the Ground." So before I dive in, let me tell you who I am, because this speech isn't theoretical for me. My name is Harley Wilson. By day and often by night, I'm a professional helper. In my personal life, I'm definitely the mom friend. You know, the one, the person who gets the 11 p.m. text, the tearful phone call, the "can you fix this, please?" The "can you help me? This is really more. Can you do this for me?" And I get burnt out much more frequently than I'd care to admit. And I knew that I had a problem when I found myself standing there exhausted. And I realized that I didn't actually care anymore if the person that I was trying to help ended up failing. That's the first thought. And that scared me, because that's not me. That's the burnout talking. So I had to learn a hard truth, and I'm still learning that. No one is owed access to your time, attention, and talent 24/7 simply because they demand it, even if they really need it. So that's what this talk is about, the difference between loving well and burning alive. So with that, let's go ahead and get into it. So I have a question for you. Are you ready? What if the most loving thing you can do is not burn yourself to the ground? So let's just take a few moments to sit with that. I'm gonna guess that some of you got a little uncomfortable just now, because we've been taught, especially those of us who identify as women or caregivers or the responsible one, that love means spending yourself completely. That if you have anything left for yourself at the end of the day, that you simply didn't try hard enough. But I wanna invite you to consider a different possibility today, a gentler one, a smarter one. So over the next 20 minutes or so, we're going to talk about the difference between real sacrifice and self-destruction, why so many of us, especially women, have been taught to confuse burnout with devotion, and finally, how to keep your own light going without running on empty. And yes, I used a couple of verses from the Bible, because faith traditions have a lot to say about this, but even if you're not particularly religious, stick with me. The wisdom here is for everyone. So getting into the first part, real sacrifice versus self-destruction. So let's start with a distinction that could literally save your life. Real sacrifice is costly, but it's sustainable. You choose it freely. It strengthens your connection to love rather than severing it. For example, you stay up late to help a friend through a crisis, but then you sleep in the next morning. You gave, but then you replenished. Self-destruction looks different. It's chronic. It's the exhaustion that doesn't go away after rest. It's the resentment you feel towards the very people that you're trying to help. It's skipping meals, ignoring pain. For me, it was calling someone to go pick up my kids because I was too far away to get them in time. And I did that more than once. And you end up running on caffeine and guilt. And here's where it gets tricky, again, especially for women. We've been handed a cultural script that says good women give until there's nothing left. Good mothers pour out. Good wives serve. Good volunteers never say no, right? And honestly, that script is dangerous. Jesus pushes back on this idea in the first verse I read in Matthew. He says, "Go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices." Did you catch that?
Yeah.
Mercy. Not sacrifice, not endless burning, not theatrical depletion. Mercy, which, by the way, starts with mercy towards yourself. And I'm really talking to myself, so mercy towards myself. So many of us are not gentle with ourselves at all. We are not patient. We are not loving. We are not kind. We do not treat ourselves the way we treat others. The religious leaders of his day were obsessed with performative sacrifice, big, costly, showy. And Jesus basically said, "Yeah, nah. I want you to be kind, and you can't be kind to others if you've destroyed yourself." I know that I've snapped at my family sitting there, second row there. I snapped at them when I'm in a burnout spiral. And it's not because they'd done something to deserve it. I was simply empty, and I was tired, and I was frustrated, and they were the closest target. So let's stop romanticizing the burnout. Real sacrifice leaves you still standing. Self-destruction leaves a crater. So now, the second part of this, where I talk about women, self-care, and social justice, and where they intersect. This is another topic that makes people feel uncomfortable. When a woman or caretaker takes time for themselves, real time, and I'm not talking a 5-minute shower while the kids are banging on the door, my dog is trying to put his paw under the, I'm literally, if you leave him for 5 seconds, he's like, mama, come back. You're accused of being selfish or lazy or less committed to the family, to the church, to the cause. But I want to flip that completely. A person taking time, a woman taking time for her own rest, her own health, her own joy, and setting of boundaries is not selfish. It is a form of social justice, and here's why. For centuries, women have been expected to absorb the emotional and physical labor of everyone else for free, with a smile and without complaint. That expectation is not love. That is exploitation that is dressed up as virtue. When you refuse to burn yourself to the ground, you break a cycle. You say to the next generation, you are worth more than what you can do for someone else. I think about women in social justice movements, the organizers, the caregivers, the volunteers, the pastors, the teachers, my mom. We show up to every protest, every potluck, every crisis, and then we go home and do it all again. And eventually, we collapse, or we rage, or we leave. And that's not a personal moral failure. That's a system failure. So self-care, real self-care, not just scented candles. And hey, don't get me wrong, I love a scented candle. I got about 10 of them half burnt on my mantle, so I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But real self-care is actually a political act. It's a spiritual act. It's saying my body is not an unlimited resource for other people's needs. And here's what's beautiful about that. When you take care of yourself, you can stay in the game longer, you can help better, and you can love without poison. So then the next part of this is how to keep your light going without running on empty. How do we actually do this? Let's get practical. From my favorite framework, it came from the second verse that I shared with you from Mark, and it is important to love him with all my heart and all my understanding and all my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. Notice the order. Love God, love with understanding, love with strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. But so many of us skip the as yourself part. We go straight to the love neighbor, and we forget that the command assumes that you have a self to love. So here are 3 small practical shifts that you can start with today if you want to. Who fills you back up? You need to build a support circle that pours into you. When was the last time you felt genuinely refilled by someone, and not just drained, but actually fuller, that you feel better after you've spent time with them? And for many of us, there's not a good answer, because we've built our lives around being the giver, the listener, the fixer, the one everyone calls when they're in a crisis. But who do you call when you're in a crisis? If the answer is no one, or I don't want to burden anyone, that's not strength. That's isolation dressed up as independence. It's a trauma response, really. And here's the truth. You cannot keep pouring from an empty cup, no matter how much you love the people you're pouring into. So here's what I want you to do. Make a list. Not of people who need you, because that list would be very, very long, but of people who see you for you. People who ask you how you're doing and they actually wait for the answer. People who make you laugh so hard that you forget to be tired. People who will bring you your favorite roller food from 7-Eleven. No questions asked. That's my guy right there. Those people, they're not a luxury. They're your support circle, and you need to protect that circle like your life depends on it, because it does. And here's the hardest part. You're probably going to have to let go of some relationships that only take and never give. And that's not being mean, despite their reaction to not having access to you anymore. That is the stewardship of your own soul. Here's the second thing, using boundaries as your love language. Practice saying, I can't today, but let's connect next week. Or, I believe in you. I know you can find another solution. Heavy emphasis on the you. Or my personal favorite, I need to check myself before I wreck myself. I didn't make that up. but it rhymes. It's an old hip-hop saying. But I mean, that's really what you have to do. Boundaries protect your ability to say yes when it matters most. And remember, no is a complete sentence. Al-Anon has an acronym for this. You don't have to jade, J-A-D-E, justify, argue, defend, or explain. You just say no, and that's the end of it. And now the replenishment question. Every evening, or whenever the end of your day is, depending on how your shift's at work or whatever the case may be, what filled me up today? What drained me? And then do more of the first one, even if it's just 5 minutes of silence, a walk, a TV show, or a phone call with a friend who laughs with you and doesn't just bring you more problems to solve. And women especially, give yourself permission to rest before you're exhausted, not as a reward, as a baseline, as the bare minimum that you deserve. And here's what I know, you cannot build a support circle if you've convinced yourself that you don't need support. You absolutely do, period. So let's come back to where we started. Here's a real world example that many of us can hopefully relate to. On an airplane, when the cabin pressure drops, the oxygen mask falls from the ceiling, and every safety briefing that you've probably ignored, because we've all heard it a million times if you fly, is to put your own mask on before helping others. Why? It's not because you're selfish. It's not because the people around you don't matter. But if you pass out from lack of oxygen, you can't help anyone. You become another person in need of rescue. And that's not a metaphor, it's real life. So let me ask you again, what if the most loving thing you can do is not burn yourself to the ground? And here's what I know. Love is not a furnace, despite what all the songs on the radio would tell you. It's a lantern. Think of what a lantern looks like. A lantern needs its own flame protected. It needs fuel. It needs stillness. It needs to not be smashed against every problem in the dark. And here's something that I really have to hear, and I actually called a friend, part of my support circle, the other day, and she said these words to me. We were never meant to be the savior to any and everyone who shows up on our doorstep. We were meant to be a fellow traveler on this path we called life. So here's the good news. When you stop running on empty, you actually have something real to offer. Not guilt-driven exhaustion, but genuine, joyful, sustainable love. So here's my challenge to you this week. Choose one small way to protect your energy, just one. Say no to something you'd normally say yes to. Take 15 minutes for yourself without apologizing, or simply pause before agreeing to help and ask, am I doing this from love or from fear? I used to participate in a living history organization, and at one point, I was holding 7 concurrent jobs. I did not realize it was 7. And some of them had more work than others, some of them were just paperwork, but that was still 7 different things, 7 different systems of people that were depending on me to do what I said that I was going to do, 7. So slowly, I divested myself of all of those things until I had no jobs. And let me tell you, it felt weird. Who am I if I'm not organizing something? Kind of a bossy person, my husband would say. I like to say that I'm, you know, a passionate, you know, if you're a man, you're passionate, you're driven. If you're a woman, then you're bossy. That's how it goes. But to be in this organization without a job that defined who I was, it was odd to just go and remember how to have fun. It was okay. I felt guilty. Well, they're going to need help. They're always going to need help. There's someone that's always going to need help. And you running on empty does not fix that problem. So when the guilt comes, and if you're a helper, a fixer, it's going to come. Whisper to yourself, mercy, not sacrifice. As myself, not instead of myself. You don't have to die to be kind. Stay alive, stay lit. Thank you.